Well, now you've heard my story, Twilight in the Green Zone, by David Wellington, and Professor Olson has asked me to maybe give you a little information about the story, you know, the story behind the story. This story is set in Baghdad during the occupation by American forces in the Second Gulf War, and it was written in 2006 into 2007, at a time when it seemed like that war was going to go on forever, and that our troops would be there forever. But, and, you know, maybe they will be, they're still there. This is June 18th, 2007 when I'm recording this. But at the same time, this was a city, Baghdad is a city that is so old, it's one of the oldest cities in the world, that it had this incredibly rich history that could not totally be covered up, even by the ridiculous excesses of Saddam Hussein or by the American forces who toppled his regime and took over. It is a place many thousands of years old. Baghdad predates Islam. It is full of mysteries and secrets. It is the perfect place to write a horror story about. It was also politically interesting to me in terms of what was going on there. I probably would never have written the story, however, because there's obviously no way I can go to Baghdad as an American citizen. It's not possible. It's not the kind of thing where I could go and see it firsthand. And in fact, I did not. I've never been there. I've never been anywhere in the Middle East. But as I was thinking about writing the story and thinking about how impossible it would be, two things came along. Two people came into my life, I guess, that made it not only possible, but really compelling. The first was that on the forum of my website, at davidwellington.net, someone started posting under the name Muddy Dog, and he was very elusive about what his real name was or, you know, what he did for a living. It turned out that he was a private contractor working in Baghdad. That is, a not necessarily a mercenary, but a man who is trained as a soldier, but who is employed by a private company, and is there doing various jobs, and security jobs, while heavily armed and facing death every day. He would tell stories about bullets coming through the cabin of his car as he was driving around in Baghdad and narrowly missing death. And it was much, the stories he told were much more terrifying than anything I had written as a horror writer. I asked him if I could ask him some questions, and he was very, very generous with his time and forthcoming. Yeah, he said that he had nothing better to do sitting over there most of the time in the Green Zone or in various places. And so he answered a vast number of questions and gave me a real sense of what Baghdad is like today during the occupation. It was quite an education. Not everything he told me went into the story. There were a lot of things, a lot of great details that I just couldn't use. But what I could use was just an enormous amount of information. He also agreed to look over the story afterwards, after I'd written it, and see where I'd gotten things wrong, which was, of course, inescapable. You know, obviously, without first-hand experience, I was going to get things wrong. I did quite a few things, and he was quick to point them out and very helpful in suggesting details that could go in that were true to life. I wanted this story to be extremely accurate, extremely close, or at least as close as I could make it, to what the reality is like of Baghdad during the occupation. The second person who came along was a professor who of Middle Eastern history and mythology named Charles Haberl. And Charles was also extremely generous with his time. He had made a great study of the Mandean culture in Iraq. These are the people who worship John the Baptist, but not Christ. They see John the Baptist as the savior of humankind. It's an incredibly small population. They still live in Iraq, and there's a movement underway to get them out of Iraq because they're facing enormous persecution for their religion. These are very ancient people with customs going back many, many, many years. Their story was fascinating to me as well. They show up in the story as what Nama calls the Sabians. That's the general term that Islamic people use people in Islamic cultures use to describe Gnostics who are either Christians or otherwise. And it's a term that covers a large number of groups. But these people are specifically supposed to be Mendeans. I never actually used the name in the story, which was an unfortunate necessity. Everything that they do with the rolled lead amulets, especially with the demon trapping bulls, is true to their mythology. And the characters of Nama and Lilith, her sister, are also true figures from the mythology of the region, predating Islam, predating pretty much any religion we know about. There were these seductive demons who would wander through the desert and then find men and seduce them and take them away from their wives and their families and make them their husbands. And in fact, strangely enough, the only thing a woman could do if her husband had been seduced away in this manner was to actually get him to sign a divorce contract from the demon, which would be legally binding, and the demon would have no choice but to give up her hold on the man. Lilith and Nama had many faces and many forms and very many names in that mythology. They not only seduced men, they would also steal babies. They were generally just really horrific creatures, and yet they could take the form of these beautiful women who could easily seduce any man. So I had the mythology, the ancient stuff, and I had the modern stuff, and it just seemed like a story that had to be written. I sat down and, you know, just not even knowing what would happen, I started writing this story. Viner, the serial killer, the main character of the story, sort of came out of my idea that Baghdad was a place that could absorb almost any kind of evil. That not that the place itself is evil, but that it has been such a history of violence and warfare and destruction and rebuilding itself, that it could take in any kind of evil and still, you know, be itself, retain its character. And I think that's the most hopeful thing that came out of the story for me, was the idea that Baghdad is a very strong place, and no matter what happens politically with it, it's going to continue to exist, and it will continue to be just a thriving metropolis. Hopefully a place that will have some real religious tolerance and freedom to it. But, of course, you know, at this time, it's hard to say. So that was where the story came from. I wanted to write a gothic story for this collection. A gothic story, traditionally, is a story of a young woman in peril. I thought it would be interesting to twist that and have the young woman who seemed to be in peril in the end turn out to be the true danger. It is one of my more lyrical stories. I tend to write much more straightforward stuff, much more action-packed and stuff with, like, vicious monsters and people with guns. There are plenty of guns in the story, but, you know, the main thrust is this sort of picaresque journey through Baghdad. I was kind of trying for the trope of the hell ride, which is a common trope in Gothic literature, where a man is dragged out of his comfortable environs and torn through this desolate or even, you know, dangerous landscape at high speed, and that was where the journey from the green zone to the desert came from. This story took about 2 weeks to write. Once I had all my information, I sat down and wrote it. I couldn't get started at first. I had a really hard time getting a hold on Viner's character and what he would see. I didn't want to just show the facts of the situation. I wanted to put his filter over it. Once I did get started, it went very quickly. The sections of actually driving through the city went very quickly indeed, and the ending came really effortlessly. It was clear that Nama had a much darker fate in store for Viner than even he had chosen for her. It was a lot of fun to write, and it was fun to record my voice. I'm not a big fan of my own voice, but I hope that I was At least you could understand what I was saying, and that you followed along, and I really hope you enjoyed the story. That was the main thing. I always write for entertainment purposes. I write for people to read my work and to enjoy it. And so I certainly hope that was the case. Thanks very much for this opportunity, and enjoy.